Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
If there is a person of the Godhead that is misunderstood, it is God the Holy Spirit. He is misrepresented. He is misunderstood. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is without a doubt the best kept secret of the 21st century church. There are those that abuse the doctrines of the Holy Spirit to fit their selfish and their carnal ways and to fulfill an appetite that the world has created in them. I would submit to you this morning, we worship the Trinity, the triunity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If God the Father, He's the one that planned it, God the Son, He is the one that provided it, and God the Holy Spirit, He is the one that powers it. They are one God, separate in office, one in essence. We are monotheistic. We don't worship a plurality of gods. We worship Elohim. That is the Godhead. That is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We, like Abraham, worship one God. God told this, and God wrote this down in the Decalogue and the very first commandment so we would understand it. Now, the third person of the Trinity is the one in the day and age in which we live that is greatly misunderstood. I want you to take heart if you're a weary Christian. If you are a soldier of grace, rally around the cross. We have God the Holy Spirit with us. I'm going to preach all about Him this morning. I won't exhaust it. It's too big a subject, but I trust that you'll have a better understanding concerning it. Take your Bibles. You're in the Gospel of John. Go back to John in chapter 14. John in chapter 14. When you hear the word ghost and Holy Ghost, it's not what you think. It speaks of the Holy Spirit. Both words are used in your King James Bible. The word Spirit actually is the Greek word pneuma, and it means a breath. And He is the third person of the Trinity. He's like, you don't see Him, but you can feel Him. You know He's there. He makes His presence known. He is the one that has energized the Church of Jesus Christ. I said a moment ago that He is the best-kept secret of the 21st century church. You see, here's what happens all too often. We get saved. We get born again. We attend a good church. And before long, the church becomes an end in itself. Oh, that's a great danger. That happens all too often. And we are prone to do that when we are not filled with the Spirit of God. If it's just Tim Rader leading the way, or you leading the way, and we leave God out of it on a daily basis, before long, we think we're the one that's leading. And then the Holy Spirit is out of it, and man is into it. And even though we're doctrinally right, and we go through all of the right motions, and we do church like we've always done it, the power of the Holy Spirit is not evident. The presence of the Holy Spirit is not evident. The joy of God is not evident. And we become an end in ourselves. And I want to say this. Be a Bible student, but the Bible was not written to satisfy our spiritual curiosity. The Bible is written to change our lives, to make us different people. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. In John in chapter 14, I'm not going to read all of the chapter. Let's just start with verse 12. Verse 12. You're familiar with the early part of the chapter where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And by the way, if you're here and you're not born again, you need God the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You need God the Holy Spirit to save you, to make you a child of God this morning. Yesterday, I think there were two professions of faith out in the Heritage Center among those wrestlers and that group of people out there. Well, I praise God for that. Last Sunday morning, and it goes on all the time here, after the morning service was through, you might be here this morning, there was a man sitting over here off to my right, never took his eyes off the pulpit the whole message. Afterwards, I think Jim sought him out or somehow crossed paths with him. And they started talking, and the man said, what did the pastor mean when he said saved? Saved from what? And I was like saying, sick him to a bulldog where it comes to Jim is concerned. And he said, saved from hell. And he gave him the gospel and prayed with him, brought him back in here. He got born again. And then afterwards, he was walking around. Some of you were introduced to him. I remember it was one man in here. I don't remember who it was. Now, what a terrible mind to have. But you know, he's being introduced to different people. And he spoke right out. This is a man, is he in his 80s? He's younger than that. Oh, I'm sorry. His name's Jim, isn't it? If I offended you, Jim, I'm sorry. You don't look like you're in your 80s. I want you to know that, right? But he stuck his hand out before one of the men got to introduce themselves, and he said, I just got saved. You know, and that's what it's about. The Holy Spirit does that. Okay, now let's go back to chapter 14 and verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. I love this verse. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now here's the progression. In the church of Jesus Christ, think of all the great things Christ did. Now, nobody could die for another sinner. That's what Jesus did. He's God the Son, right? But he's talking about accomplishments here on this earth, works here on this earth. He said, I want you to know, because I go to my Father, and the Holy Spirit comes down, greater works than these shall ye do. What a promise for the church of Jesus Christ. Do you realize? And we limit God. We limit God. Boy, I was so convicted about that this morning in my prayer time, walking around the building. I want to be involved in the last great wave before Jesus comes. And there's no sense limiting it. There's no sense saying God could, but. You know, don't even talk that way. I don't even want to talk to you about it if that's what your mindset is. I'm telling you, God can do it. And I want to be part of it. And I don't want to limit God in any way, shape, or fashion. And he tells us here in this 12th verse of chapter 14, he said, greater works than these shall ye do because I go to my Father. He's going to go on and explain it. Because I go to my Father and I'm going to make intercession for you. And when I go to my Father, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the third person of the Trinity. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit of God. And he's going to come down upon the church of Jesus Christ. And he's going to use you and use the people of God like this world has never seen before. You say, Pastor, where's that happening? Where's that going on at? The church that is wholly committed to Christ. That's where it's happening. I hunger for that. You know, we see people get saved and people grow and lives change here. I got to tell you, though, as a pastor, we don't see it enough. There's more people that need to be reached. Who do you know that isn't born again? Man, let's bring them to Christ. Verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, encourager. Parakletos is the Greek word. Para means to come along beside and encourage, to comfort, to help. That's the Holy Spirit of God. God hasn't left you alone here in this world. You see, man, what a dark culture we live in. Evil and wickedness and perverseness in every direction. And it just seems like it's multiplying and it's overwhelming. It's like a great black cloud that is covering over our nation. Please understand this. We're not left alone. Number one, God gave you the church, of which we are all part of. That's what makes it up. Christ is the head of the church. And he gave to us the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to get to it in just a moment. Let me keep reading. Verse 15, verse 16 says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. They don't understand, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. And this is future. The Holy Spirit's coming on the day of Pentecost, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Let me pray one more time. God, help this message to be crystal clear. Don't let anybody leave the church house this morning misunderstanding the Holy Spirit of God. God, at the same time, we that are children of God, help us not to think that the Holy Spirit is some kind of dog that you teach tricks to and he'll do certain things for us. Help us to understand he's the third person of the Trinity. He is God. And he's here with us. And there's a work to do. please work in our midst. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, if you turn there. 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture this morning. I've got 4 points, some sub-points. I don't know exactly what I'm going to get through, but we're going to get through all of it we can this morning. I stand here because of grace. I stand here because of Jesus Christ. I'm just the song the choir's working on, God Still Saves Old Sinners, that's me. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm no different than anybody else on this planet, 7 billion people, all part of a fallen race, children of Adam, in need of a Savior. And the Savior is named Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He went to the grave. He rose again on the third day. He made some promises to the children of God. And he said, listen, I'm going to come. You're going to be able to accomplish greater things. He told his disciples that. And the reason is I'm going to make intercession for you. And I'm sending the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. He will energize you. The first thing he's going to do is you're going to get immersed into the family of God. You're going to get saved. And God, the Holy Spirit, will baptize you into the family of God. 1 Corinthians and chapter 12 and verse 13, this is salvation. Understand, this is what happens when someone gets saved. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon the children of God that worshiped the Lord God Jehovah. They were being faithful to Him. He would come upon them for a work, but He never indwelt them. Check it out. It's nowhere in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit would come upon Samson and then leave. You see, we in the New Testament are privileged children of God. And what happened is that now that Jesus, they were looking forward to Calvary, then Calvary's work is done. The Son of God has died for the sins of the world. He took my sin to the grave. He nailed the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us to the cross. And then He rose again on the third day and He says, now listen, I'm going to ascend, I'm going to go home to my Father, and I'm going to intercede on your behalf, but I'll not leave you alone. I have ordained the New Testament church, and I'm sending the Holy Spirit of God, and He will baptize you into the family of God. I'm not talking about water baptism. Nowhere is that taught in the Bible. That is not even mentioned. Water is not even brought into it here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. He's immersed. He said, that the word baptizo means to immerse, all right? So he said, the Holy Spirit will come and will immerse you. Will baptize you into the family of God. When I got saved, I was baptized by the Spirit of God into His family. Synonym for salvation. Look what it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So when I got saved, I was baptized into the family of God. Don't confuse that with water baptism. That comes after salvation. What a beautiful picture. So God said, now I want you to take those new converts and I want you to baptize them in water as a picture of what the Holy Spirit has already done. As what God the Son has already provided on Mount Calvary. Death, burial, and resurrection. Number one, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into His family. When a sinner comes and repents and asks God for forgiveness, by the way, that's why repentance has got to be there. Without repentance, if it's like this, oh yeah, I want to get saved. Oh God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Is that what I needed to do? That's it? Okay, that's not salvation. You said some words. That's all you did is say some words. God doesn't want your prayer. Your prayer's not going to save you. God wants your heart. You got to mean business with Him and say, God, I know I need a sinner. I know I need a Savior, and I know I'm a sinner. Please save me. Now, don't make it hard. It's just a matter of meaning it in your heart, all right? And then you're born again. You are immersed into the family of God. I remember the day I got saved, riding back from vacation Bible school in the backseat of Mrs. Anderson's car, looking over, and she was asking us about salvation. And I remember saying, I got saved today. I remember telling her that. I remember Bud saying he wasn't. Did you say you weren't saved? Are you saved yet, Brother Bud? Are you? The boy. Yeah, you are now. You weren't at that point, were you? A year after that, yeah, okay. So I was the first one saved in my family. No, okay, never mind. I want to say that because my brother's here today, all right? Baptized into the family of God. The second thing, another work of the Holy Spirit, look at Galatians in chapter 2. Galatians in chapter 2. And verse 20. When you get saved, you're baptized into the family of God, and you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. You are kept by the Holy Spirit of God. I am crucified with Christ, verse 20, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ liveth in me. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and you're probably familiar with this. I just want to share something real quickly. When I got saved, I was baptized into the family of God. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. God the Son shed his blood for me. God the Holy Spirit, he baptized me into the family of God spiritually. And then he come and he lives within me. He indwells me as a child of God. It says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, "What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" I want to back up and just say this before anybody gets saved, before you're born again. This is false doctrine. It's right from the pit of hell. There is no spark of divinity in any man that walks upon the face of the earth. None. The Bible teaches just the opposite. That's why we need a Savior. Now, it's not about turning the light up that's already on the inside of you. You don't have the Savior. But when you get born again, the Savior that paid for your sin in the form of God the Holy Spirit comes and baptizes you into his family, and then he indwells you. And we're to keep our temple for the glory of God. He's not talking about the church house. God doesn't dwell in a temple made with hands, the scripture says. You think we could build a building and put God in it? That's foolish. But God does indwell the believer and turns the sinner into a sinner saved by grace, who is now a saint, a child of God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to say this. If you're hanging on to some past sins, and we're all still sinners. There's certain things you can give up. There's certain things you can conquer any sin that's in your life. Some of you never think twice. You would never, never think about smoking a cigarette in church. Oh my goodness, not in the house of God. And yet you still smoke? I've got you right where I want you. Because this is not the house of God. This is the house of God after you get born again. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, 19, that's what that's all about there. Paul says to the church of Corinth, you are the temple of God. You, your body. So you don't put things into it that's going to harm that body. All right, so that's real simple. But getting back to the Holy Spirit, he baptizes us into his family. He indwells us. I love this. Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians in chapter 1. Ephesians in chapter 1. He didn't leave us alone in this world. No, no, no. He said in Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never, never, never. We've got God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus made that promise. Not only do you are baptized into the family of God and indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit, but he seals us as well. This is good. Anyone here struggling with the doctrine of eternal life? When you got saved, nowhere in the Bible does it say God gave you temporary life. He knew that when he saved you, that while you're here walking this earth, you would still be a sinner. He didn't save you knowing that you would lose your salvation, and then he had to save you again, and you'd lose your salvation over here, and then you'd go to bed at night with an unconfessed sin, lose your salvation. That's not how it works. He said, when you got saved, you were baptized into the family of God by the Holy Spirit, indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, and kept by God the Holy Spirit, sealed. We belong to the King. Ephesians in chapter 1, and verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, that's Christ from the previous verse, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. After you get born again, you are sealed by God the Holy Spirit. Go to chapter 4 and verse 30. Same book, book of Ephesians. Chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until a week from next Wednesday. Unto the day of redemption. Once you become born into the family of God, just think of the very words that Jesus used. Once the time you are born into the family of God, born again, you'll never be unborn. Once you become a child of the King, be obedient or disobedient, no license to sin. He's going to spank you when you do wrong. Obedient or disobedient, you're always His child. Once you are born into the family of God, He never said, I give unto you temporary life. He never said in the Bible, just hang on and hopefully you'll make it. That's not what the Word of God teaches. He said, I'll give unto you eternal life. How long is eternal? Forever. You read Romans in chapter 8. I can't mess it up. The devil can't mess it up. I'm a child of God. You know why? I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. I am protected. I have the mark. When in fifth grade I got saved, I've done a lot of sinning since fifth grade. But I have the mark of the King upon my soul. I belong to Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said back in Romans chapter 14, or in John chapter 14, I'm going to my Father, and because I go to my Father, I'll make intercession for you. Greater works than these shall you do. You're going to do even greater things for God. Because after I go, same chapter, he explains it, the Comforter is going to come. I'll send the Holy Spirit. He will baptize you into the family of God. He will indwell you. He will seal you. Do you realize what security we have in Christ? It's as good as God's Word. We have God's Word on it. It's forever. Then he strengthens us. He fills us for service. Going back to that being secure and being sealed by God the Holy Spirit, I don't have time to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 tells us we're kept. We are kept by the power of God in His hand. The devil can't have you when you get born again. Until you settle this thing of eternal life, eternal security, anytime you start to do something for God, the devil's going to trip you up and he's going to whisper in your ear, you're not really saved. It's just a big sham. Some of you are going to believe him. I would tell you as the under-shepherd here at the church, I challenge you to get in the Bible. Quit trusting your feelings. Quit trusting what others are telling you. And get in the Word of God. God the Holy Spirit will bring you to the same conclusions. It's all there. And then He strengthens us, or He infills us for service. I would invite you, you know, I want more than anything else for whatever days I have left on this earth to have the power of God. Now, we can't dissect God and divide God up. You've got all of God inside you. You've got the whole Holy Spirit indwelling you. You can grieve Him. You can quench Him. If you're born again, He is there. The question is, does God have all of you? You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You need to be full of God from your fingertips to the end of your big toe. Be just filled with God, full of God, so that you can be used of God. That's only going to happen when you surrender yourself to God. And He will infill you for, and I'm out of time, soul-winning power. John chapter 14, verse 12, we already read that. He will fill you and you'll have evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, love, joy, peace, the whole package, temperance, everything, it all comes together. It doesn't come one at a time. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. And if He's in control, that's who's evident in your life. Not just some of Him. Now don't hold God out of part of your lives. Surrender it all. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's when they come into play and are in full operation. Ephesians chapter 4 and Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. And then there's prayer. Look at Romans in chapter 8. Let's go there. Romans in chapter 8. And verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Listen, I know there are groups that have abused and mishandled the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. and they go way out in left field or way out in right field. And what ends up happening, it's happened to a whole generation of good, saved people. They become, especially the Baptists, we become afraid of the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit, just know what the Bible teaches and allow God the Holy Spirit to take over. And God will use you. There's no limit to what can be done. A lot of things have been done in the name of God the Holy Spirit that are not of God. That's why we're to try the spirits to see whether they're of God. There's a lot of foolishness, just utter foolishness that goes on. Just way off the charts. I could say so many things there, but just way off the charts. Let God be true and all men a liar. Just honor God. God the Holy Spirit. In Romans in chapter 8 and verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know that what we should pray for, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. He is our helper. If Fundamental Baptist Church would be full of the Holy Spirit, we'd be everything God wants us to be in the last days. Your loved ones would get saved. My loved ones would get saved. Co-workers would be born again. People that are the farthest from God this very day in a short time would come to Christ and be born again. It's the purpose of the church. It's the job and the duty of the church to exalt Jesus Christ. But you can't do a good job of that unless you're filled with the Spirit of God. You go to the book of Acts, you can see that. But people tried to do it without him. It doesn't happen. Demons just take over. A lot of wickedness overwhelms people. I guess I want to close this morning by saying this. It's springtime, kind of. It's supposed to be. On the calendar, it's springtime. There's so many people to reach. There's so much that needs to be done. And we have a helper, an encourager, a comforter. He was there at creation when the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. He was there at the giving of our Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He's our enabler. Our helper. D.L. Moody made this statement. I'm done. Okay, you can close your Bibles, but do not close your mind, all right? D.L. Moody said this. Okay, look back up here now. You had enough time to close your Bible. Don't worry about zipping something up. Don't do that. All right. D.L. Moody said this in his life. The world has yet to see what God will do with a man who fully surrenders to Christ. Dot, dot, dot. And by the grace of God, I will be that man. Now, Moody, you can truthfully say, shook two continents for God. Limited education shook two continents for God. But I think I can safely say the world has yet to see what God will do with a man who fully surrenders Christ.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.